The book of Psalms, chapter 17. I want to read from verse 13. We'll read three verses. I want to use that to introduce something that I will say briefly before I go into the main meat of today's teaching. It said, "Arise, O Lord, confront him, bring him low, deliver my soul from the wicked with thy sword." That is, God should confront those who are rising up against him. He said, "From men with thy hand, O Lord," that is, "use your hand, O Lord, to deliver me from men. From men of the world, whose portion is in this life." Now notice that is, "whose belly thou dost fill with thy treasure." That is, they get a lot of good things in life. And he said, "they are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake." Please, I want to read that in again. It said, "God deliver me," as I was saying, if we read verses 13 and 14, "and that there are certain kinds of people on this earth," just listen to this, "and these people seem to prosper more than I am prospering," he was saying, physically. "These people seem to have a lot of good things in life." I don't know how many of you have ever thought like this. A lot of Christians do, and that's based on the teachings that we've been having. "I believe God, I have faith. I don't walk in sin, I walk in righteousness," like Job. Do you understand my point? But then you will stand while believing the Lord. You have been working or doing business for a few years. You has been good, amen? But you don't have all the good things of life you love to have. And then a man passes by, you know him to be a sinner. I mean, he used to come to your school to come and carry all the women. All right? For every naira you earn, he earns 1,000. Are you getting my point? And you ask yourself, say, "God, what's going on?" I mean, one of the fruits of righteousness is prosperity. Because you said concerning Job, I mean, we read the story about Job, that you blessed this man and he was the greatest of all the men of the East. He had a lot of material resources. Concerning Abraham, you say the same thing, that God blessed him until he became exceedingly great. The same is the testimony of people like Isaac. And you run through it and you see the Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Now, the issue now is that, "God, why are you allowing this other man to prosper more than me?" I'm not saying you should put up your hand if you ever thought like that. But do you know people do think like that? Even if it's not you, say amen. All right. You know that people do think like that. And really, one of the things about life is that you should be sincere. If you do things like that, you should go and pray and ask God and he will give you an answer. Do you understand my point? And that's one of the things that David was tackling here. He said, now, you'll notice something, that the fact that a man prospers is not a sign that he's walking in righteousness. You know that? And that's the same thing with Christians also. You know, we can never, it's not possible. You cannot use prosperity, outward prosperity, as a sign of the fact that you are walking in righteousness. You can't do that. All right? Now, but you see, whether we like it or not, there are some things that are still true. I know in the last many years, Christianity in Nigeria has, not only in Nigeria, worldwide, we have emphasized prosperity. And let me tell you something, prosperity is good. Now, are you not feeling more comfortable? If you've been coming here all these weeks and, you know, last many, many months, are you not feeling more comfortable just sitting here today? Yeah, why? Because of prosperity, we're able to cool the air a bit. Now, so, listen. Bishop David Oyedepo said something once. I like to quote him all the time. He said, "I believe in good things because good things are good. You don't pretend about them. They are good." So I'm not saying that the gospel of prosperity is wrong. But of course, too much emphasis on prosperity is absolutely wrong. Do you understand the point? Let me say it again. Too much emphasis on prosperity is most certainly and absolutely wrong. Because it is possible. Now, I'm not saying that's God's plan. All right? People can have trials and adversities in life. In fact, you know, I said something on radio the other day. Let me say it again. I said, when we started learning the word of faith, I believed that for a short while also, but God rapidly delivered me. They say, when you want to take a marriage vow, it is unbelief to say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. That as a man of faith, you can only get richer and richer. After all, the Bible said the path of the just like the light of dawn shines brighter. Therefore, it is for better, for best, and for richer, for yet richer. In health and in perfect health, and maybe death should never even do us part. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. Listen to me, let me say to you clear now. Thank God for your zeal and you want to walk by faith. But that is not righteousness, that's not true. Listen to me. It is a matter. Look, let me say it again. The way to, as a preacher, if I have to administer vow, all the songs that come from America, I won't use it. I will use the original one. I don't know who wrote it, but it makes a lot of sense. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I have not seen any reason to change it to modern words we use. From today, we shall be one. From today, you know, all those, that to me, that's a long story. You know, I'm sorry to say this, but people rewrite things to suit their own practical experiences. I had an argument with a brother once. I said, listen to me. The word of God is not here to describe your experiences. It's to create experiences for you. Your life has gone in a particular way. Doesn't mean we should change the doctrines of God to fit that. It is a matter of fact that in life, there will be a season in which things will not appear as good as they used to be. And those who wrote those marriage vows were not prophesying hardship upon you. You were making a covenant. Are you getting my point? That like God made with Abraham, even if I were to come and demand your son, you would give him to me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is what that vow was saying is simple. I will be in covenant with you no matter what. That's all it means. Do you understand the point I'm making? All right, so I'm just bringing up something here. The gospel of prosperity is good, all right? But we can't lay too much emphasis upon it because as a matter of fact, there will be experiences in life, all right, that will appear as if we don't believe in this gospel really. That is, it's not working as it's supposed to work. It doesn't mean you are in unbelief. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. In fact, one of the ways by which God lifts you from one level to another is to pass you through adversity. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Listen. As a believer, let me say this to you very clearly. As a Christian, if you have problems as a believer, the first thing you do is you return. Now, this is a practical thing. You return inward and pray and ask God, is there anything that I'm doing wrong that's causing this affliction upon me? Because if you don't ask that question, you're a proud person. Because every man's way is right in his own eyes. Are you getting what I'm saying? So for you to have adversity is one of those ways by which God brings correction to you. People say that, no, God uses his word. I know. But when you have refused to hear the word, sometimes he passes you through adversity so as to catch your attention. That is why if you have any troubles in life, you have a problem in the office, problem in your home, business, whatever it is, the first thing you do, you settle down and say, God, teach me that which I do not see so that if I am doing iniquity, I will not do it anymore. Don't first blame your boss. Don't first blame your wife. Don't first blame your husband. Don't first blame the society. Don't first blame Bernard Madoff, who made away with $50 billion of people's investment money. Don't blame those people first. Ask yourself first, is this possible that there's something I am doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? Is there something that God is trying to get me to understand? That's the first thing you do. Are you getting my point? Now, once you've done that, there's a statement I was trying to make, that adversity and trials in life is one of the key ways by which God moves you up to another level. This is the reason, because God always requires an excuse to bless, and his choice excuse is how people respond to faith in the midst of adversity. Go and see what happened when God said Abraham should sacrifice Isaac. When Abraham went ahead to sacrifice Isaac and God stopped him in the last moment, he said, because of this thing you have done, therefore in blessing I will bless you. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That is, when God wanted to bless Job double-fold, he allowed Satan to tempt him. When Satan was through with tempting Job, God restored to him double that which he had already had before. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. So please get this point very clear. It is possible for a man of faith to go through trials. It is possible for a man of faith to go through adversity. It is not because he doesn't have faith. Are you following what I'm saying? What I'm saying, I hope it's clear to you. Now, so I read this, all right? That's in Psalm 17, to bring out an issue. That God was explaining to us through David there. That, you see, I said something earlier that, what I would like to know, there are some real things about life. Okay? Now, because we preach prosperity in this present life, we shouldn't forget that there is life after now. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is, he said, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise for the life that now is, and that life which is to come. It's a matter of fact, godliness has promise for two levels. First, a life that now is, and the life that is to come. And let me say this to you the way the Bible said it clearly. If an unrighteous man, if a wicked man prospers outwardly, are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says he's only getting it in this present life. Read that again. Psalm 17. As a famous philosopher, I do not want to mention his name for certain reasons. But he made a statement. He said, if we can understand many a what, all right? If we can understand many a why, we can endure many a what. Do you understand my point? That if we can understand things, it's easier to endure them. Are you getting what I'm saying? If we can understand many a why, we can endure many a what. So that's why I'm explaining this. So David said it in that Psalm 17, in verse 14. He described those men. He said, whose belly thou dost fill with thy treasure, that is, God allowed them to prosper. And they are satisfied with children. They have a lot of children. And they leave their abundance to their babes, that is, their offsprings. Now, what I wanted to read is the earlier part of 14. I just omitted it. He said, from men with thy hand, O God, deliver me. From men of the world, whose portion is in this life, that is, in this life only. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, they only have their blessing in this life. Please, let's not be carried away. It is a matter of fact that there is eternity. And even though you were to live long on this earth, you probably live to be 120 years. In this day and age, it's not likely you will do much more than that, 120. You probably wouldn't even want it if God were to grant it to you that you live more than 120. You know why? Most of your friends will be gone. Do you follow my point? But listen, that's less than a drop in the ocean if you compare that with eternity. Therefore, David emphasized it, that there are people who appear blessed outside. He said, but their own portion is only in this life. Do you understand my point? Do you understand my point? Jesus told the disciples, he said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm just going to go and prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. He said, if it wasn't so, I would not have told you. That is, I won't lie to you. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, as a matter of fact, this life is very temporal, and therefore we should not be fixated on things that only endure for a lifetime. But that's just by the way. What's my main message? My main message from that is verse 15. David said, unlike those who have their things in this present life only, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. Are you getting the point? I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. Now, I said something to us last time. We're talking about the life of purpose. And let me say it again. I said God has a threefold purpose concerning your life. I said there is number one, the most important one of the lot is what he wants to do where? In you. Say it loud. Say in me. What God wants to do inside you is what is most important. That is number one. The second one is that which he wants to do through you. First in the world, in the church, and second in the world. But let's just summarize the two into what he wants to do through you. Unfortunately, a lot of people, most of us, emphasize first that which he wants to do through us. But with God, that is secondary. What is first is that which he wants to do where? Inside us. And let me summarize it like this. We discussed that when we're talking about the bride of Christ. All right? We discussed that when we're talking about the image of Christ. I discussed those things in detail. I just want to bring them up to our minds again. The number one thing that God wants to do in you is to form the image of Christ in you. Did you hear what I said? That the number one thing he wants to do in you is to do what? Form the image of Christ in you. Read that thing again. That's Psalm 17. The other night I stayed up and I was studying it. And I realized that that's what David was saying. He said, I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. Now listen to that. That is, I might go through trials, I might go through adversity. But when I finish going through anything that I'm going through, the satisfaction will be that the image of Christ has been developed in me. I hope you are getting what I'm explaining. You know, the other day, all right, I think I told you the story before. I was on the road. Okay, I was in somebody's office. And this convoy of cars passed. All right? Now, the one in the middle was a Rolls Royce. Now, let me tell you the fact. That car, if you buy it from UK, you pay about 250,000, I think, pounds or dollars. Pounds. 250,000 pounds. Now, Please don't do too much arithmetic so that you don't get a headache. All right? 250,000 what? Pounds. I saw it on TV. You know, they were analyzing it and everything. You know, when they were making the car, I laughed. You know why I laughed? You know, they said that there's economic downturn, all right? The people said, the Rolls-Royce makers said that, look, they're about to double their shifts, that they, to keep up with demand, they are increasing the shift from 1 to 2. That for them, there's nothing like downturn. People are getting richer. People are buying more. And in fact, I read somewhere the other day, say economic downturn. I said, what happened was that the rich stole trillions from the poor. Therefore, the middle class and the poor became poorer. And certain rich people became richer. That's why they are still buying Rolls Royces. £250,000 for one. Anyway, the car passed. And I thought it was the governor. I've seen it before. I thought it was the governor. I said, no, it's not governor. It's one man. It's one business tycoon from Lagos. It's from this area, though. And that you see that convoy, he has them stationed in different places. He has an identical set like that in Lagos, and an identical set like that in Abuja. So he doesn't have to move the cars across the country. He just flies across the country. Now when he's coming down to Enugu, he just charters a flight and he arrives. All right, but that night he has stopped chartering flights. He has bought a Lear jet. So when the car passed, I said to Rockelator, I said, God, we have to see. No, you don't get what I'm saying. I said, Baba God, we have to talk. We have to talk. The car in the middle alone, you know what it costs. Yet, you see the headache I went through because I didn't buy a correct generator for people to start before I come. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Now, for me, it was half a joke, all right? It was partly a joke, but I want to use it because a lot of people reason like that. You sit at home and begin to wonder, what is going on? You know, that's why I tell people, stop preaching the gospel of poverty. Praise God. I sowed a seed of 50 naira. Now I have a new pair of shoes. You know, they are kind of gospels you preach. You can't reach some people. They say, that's all your God can do. Provide two, two shoes, a pair of shoes. Then I don't need him. Then I have better things to worry about. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Be very careful that you don't entrench yourself in that gospel of poverty. Always, you know, focusing on, I gave 500 naira. And praise God, today I have 10,000. Listen, 10,000 naira is small money. Not to me, I mean to God. $100 million is small money. Not to me, but to who? To God. There's no amount of money you can conceive that's not small to the Lord. None. That God is saying something. Bank, yes, I could give you the cost of that Rolls Royce. But what will I have done for you? You think, now listen, you think it will make you more comfortable? Believe me, I, the Lord, I'm telling you, no, it will not. You think it will make you advance this gospel more? Nothing can hinder the advance of my gospel. If the proper gospel is preached in its appropriate time, it will move to where I want it to move. It is not lack of money that's the reason why the gospel is not advancing. God will tell you which money the Paul and Co. have, that they filled the whole of Asia Minor in 2 years with their doctrine. Which money? They did not even have the technology that you have now. The only way they could spread that word was mouth to mouth and by letters. Now you can print 10,000 tracts in 5 minutes. Do you get my point? You can go on radio and broadcast and millions of people will hear at a time. But do you think you are getting greater results than Paul and Co. did then? No, you are not. Because the power of the gospel is not technology. The power of the gospel is not money. Are you getting my point? Indeed, the gospel itself is what? Power. He said it is the power of God unto salvation. The reason why our gospel is hindered, listen, it is because it's not pure. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. The reason why it is hindered is because it's not pure. If it is pure, it cannot be hindered. If the gospel is refined, it cannot be hindered. If the refined gospel is carried by refined people, it cannot be hindered. Listen, outward things are a reflection of the inward development of the soul. Are you getting my point? Listen, outward things, I said, they are what? A result of the inward development of the soul. That is why no matter how rich you are, okay? You cannot preach the gospel more effectively than a man that is poor if you don't have the correct gospel. I don't know what I get my point. You've heard me say this before. The fact that you are rich, you know, we see it a lot. That's the reason why I'm doing this series. A man is very, very rich. For the first 50 years of his life, he didn't know God. Now he's rich. When you count his money in dollars, it's probably worth over $200 million. Then he gives his life to Christ. And somebody lied to him that now you have to do the work of God. What does it mean? You have to start preaching. So the man becomes a preacher. Because he has money, he can fund anything he wants to say. He puts it on air. All he reaps is scandals and problems. Listen, there's a prayer I prayed before. And I'm so happy that I'm seeing the manifestation of it. No, I'm already experiencing it. And it's increasing every day. I always used to say, God, don't bless me so much that I will use my money to propagate this gospel that you have sent me to go and preach. People have said that I will have a lot of money and then I will be able to preach effectively. My own prayer was that, God, no. I want to be blessed. I want good things in life. I'm a man with a large heart. Go and ask my mother. That is, he said, I've never liked things small. People like sports cars. Ask those who know me. Banky doesn't understand why people drive small sports cars. You know my problem? The car is too short. That's all. I like my things large. I like to live in a very big house. I know the house that God will bless me with over the next many years, when my children begin to grow and become adults. I can describe it to you now. How do I know? Because that's how I like it. It will be on such a massive amount of land that when my children want to give address to their friends, they say, when you enter our compound, my own apartment is on drive A, inside our compound. I'm not explaining to you. So don't think I'm one who believe. What does the man want in this life? I know what I want. I don't know what you want. Do you get what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to say is that, but I felt that God, one of the ways I will know I'm preaching the truth is that the gospel is prospering. It's moving, and not because I have money. Are you getting my point? And I thank God that today, when we started Kingdom World, 99% of the money spent was spent just in my family, that is, between my wife and I. All the money we spent in Kingdom World was money we had. But today that proportion has dropped to, it's very, very low now. Maybe less than 15% of the money that Kingdom World spent, okay, let's say 20, comes from our family as our own offering towards the gospel that we are preaching. I give more outside to other gospels being preached, you get my point? To other mission work and charity work than I give to Kingdom World Ministries. Now don't get my point. I'm not saying I don't. Are you following my point? But I'm going to bring out an issue. That from the beginning I said, God, no, this thing has power in itself. And it should work on those who I'm preaching to, not just on me. And if indeed it's working of them, I will know by how much they are cooperating. Do you get what I'm saying? To push the gospel forward. That's why I was willing to wait until an appropriate time. Because you see, you can't rush God. You can't. I'm answering a particular question that I was just kind of jokingly asking myself. So God said, Banky, when the time comes to give you £250,000 to preach the gospel, don't worry. The money will be there waiting. If it is time to believe God now for an old diesel generator to power your air conditioners, go ahead and do it. You know why I'm saying so? Because David said, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. You've heard the story before of the young boy who saw a butterfly, all right, coming out of the pupa, all right? So the thing was struggling. So he said, let me help this small butterfly that's metamorphosizing. So he took a small knife and opened the thing and allowed the butterfly to come out easily. And shortly after the butterfly came out, it died. That the young man didn't understand that part of the development of that butterfly was the squeezing process. Do you follow the point? That the squeezing process was part of the development of the butterfly. Oh, as God said in effect, and that's what David was explaining to us here. That listen, if I give you more than you need, at the time that you ask for it, it will kill you, it won't bless you. Are you getting my point? That the thing I'm really going out after in your life, that perfect image of Christ, will never be developed. Yes, you have a story to tell in this life only. You will have become amongst those who their portion is what? In this life alone. And that's not what I want to do. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. So David said, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. That is, when I come out of my troubles, I won't analyze this in detail because we're going somewhere else. When he talked about being asleep, he was talking about when you go into troubles and tribulations. And the life of Jesus is our example. That is, when he went into death on the cross, that was when he went into sleep. Are you getting my point? He now said he came forth in a particular likeness at the resurrection. And that's how the life of every believer is. Every adversity you go through is a kind of sleep or death. Do you get my point? But he said, what is God going after? The resurrection that you will experience in the midst of your troubles. That's why I've said, you want to kill a business, a young man comes to you and says that, I have a great business idea. You don't want the man to prosper, give him a lot of money. That's how the man won't prosper. You do what? You give him a lot of money. He will waste the money. Because part of success in business is that you grill the money. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Did you hear what I said? That you grill the money. That they gave them a seed. Everything that God gives you is a seed. And let me tell you, that's why there's, if anybody says, hey, business day, no capital, tell the person you are lying, there's no business. Let me say it again. If your friend comes to you and says, many get business ideas, no capital, don't answer him first time. He comes back 6 months later, he's still not doing anything. He said, business day, no capital, don't say anything. 6 months after, he tells the same thing, he says, oh boy, you have lied to me now for one full year. When are you going to start telling yourself the truth? That indeed, if you had ideas, 2 naira is enough to start. Now, you don't have to have 1 million. You have 5,000. You start from there. I'm not saying you don't need any money at all. Actually, you don't. But let's say that you need a small amount. Do you get what I'm saying? You are supposed to grow it. If I gave you 100, look, have you ever asked yourself, you know, the other day, my friend and I were discussing, a senior friend to me, about the issues in the nation. And he said that, look, if to solve this kind of problem in Enugu as an example, it will cost about 100 million naira. I don't mean charity money. I mean business money. That somebody will invest in this kind of business, he will bless a lot of people. Are you getting my point? And then he will reap a lot of reward and grow his money. So after we talked like that for a while, I said, how come you all yourself know? You have seen touts in Enugu buy one hammer after the other. You have seen it. Have you not? You've seen a guy poor today, tomorrow he start driving the kind of car you don't understand because he became a politician. You have seen Nigerians make money overnight. So I asked my friend, I said, we were discussing actually. I said, all these our big men, these are our rich men that roam around town. Why don't they do these things? Nobody will ask them. Right now they are blowing money anyhow, we are not asking them. If they did something good with the money, we'll ask them even less. Do you understand my point? Then as I asked the question, even me, I gave the answer. I said, because they didn't gather by labor, so they don't understand the value of the money. I don't know whether I get the point. It is when you just woke up one day and suddenly made money. That's when you will chase a girl that's your 17th girlfriend with a brand new Honda Accord on a weekend. You're obviously mad. You know you are mental. You didn't work for the money. That is why a lot of young women run to Abuja. Just rub shoulders with politicians. Because though some of them are so crazy, I mean, because they want a girl to follow them to the, for weekend, they are going to somewhere in Europe, they can give her a brand new Honda Accord. If a man does that, it's obvious he didn't make money through a godly means because he doesn't understand the value of it. Are you getting my point? Yes. He didn't gather by labor. Therefore, he doesn't understand the value. But if God, listen, there are things that some men won't do, even though they are not godly the way you think. But because God allowed their business to grow the normal and godly way, they won't give anybody 6 million naira because they want you to follow them for the weekend, except they're on assignment from Satan to corrupt somebody. Do you follow the point I'm making? Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That, so, what was I saying? That through that experience, I said, I just smiled to myself that day, that God was saying, in effect, that the day you need 250,000 pounds, it's waiting. And let me give you somebody else's testimony. My pastor began to go on TV. That was a few years ago. And then one day decided to spread his gospel to UK on air. The first one cost them a lot of money. They gathered all the money they had and paid from Nigeria, paid for airtime on TV in Europe. And believe me, that was the last they paid. After that, people that knew him from time, who now live in UK, say, this man is on air here, and he's a blessing to us. So they said, sir, all we need for you to do is send us the material. We'll make sure it's on air. So amongst themselves, they gather money and pay for airtime. All he needs to do is what? Send the tapes. What's God saying in effect? The 250,000 pounds he needed was there by the time he arrived to use it. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Let me tell you something again. Number one thing that God is doing in your life is building the character of Christ. And listen to this, even in the midst of your lack. So please stop wondering, how come somebody has 100 million? He's not sharing with everybody. Don't worry about other people. It's none of your business. There are monies they will give you, you won't develop properly again. You know that? Yes. There are certain kinds of prosperity you are praying for. God said, if I grant you, oh boy, you won't develop properly. I will grant it to you, but not now. Reach the point of development. Do you get what I'm saying? In which you'll be able to assimilate and utilize that degree of prosperity. What am I saying? Number one thing that God is doing in your life, that's what David said. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied with the transformation into the likeness of the image of Christ when I'm through with going through my difficulty, when I'm through with going through my adversity, when I'm through with going through my lack. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, let me testify personally as a preacher and the one who sat over the organization called Kingdom World Ministries. We have never lacked. Now, listen. You say, Pastor Manke, if you're never lacked, how come we didn't have AC all this while? I didn't say we had AC all the while. Did I say so? Was that what I said? I said we have never what? Lacked. At the appropriate time, each thing manifested. The time you didn't see it was because the time was not ripe. That's the point I'm making. Do you get my point? I don't dare to say that again because that's the most important thing. And you must never be discouraged in life. Listen, in everything, God is fine-tuning you. Listen, let me say it again. There's no witch worrying you. They don't have any power to do that. There's no ancestral curse pushing you about except you are still walking in sin. Please, I hope you follow what I'm saying. Let me say it loud and clear again. There is no witch worrying you except you are a career sinner. You have refused to stop lying. You have refused to stop cheating. You have refused to stop following other people's husbands or wives, if that's the case. Every business you do that is never straight. So this is the original one. Even as you are saying it, your soul, you know, some people's souls are confused. Your soul knows what you are saying is not true. But your mouth is uttering that, you understand, which you claim to be true. So there's a confusion. Look, listen. If you don't want to ever go crazy in your life, a number of things you should never do. Number one, don't steal. Number two, please avoid sexual immorality. I'm telling you the truth. Number three, don't tell lies. If you don't do those three things, I don't care whether your father is mental and your mother is crazy. So all the, and your uncles are all not abnormal people. You will not become mental. Because confusion of soul is what worries a lot of people. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is, their souls are confused. So when it says good morning, the soul says, Nala, it must be night. So when he says, my friend, how are you? The soul tells him he's an enemy because your mouth never says what is true. Then they say the guy has schizophrenia. Why won't he have schizophrenia? I hope you get what I'm saying. Leave all the witches alone. Let nobody take your money because they want to go and park the sand in your father's compound. Where would they carry you to? Let me say it again. If the witch wants to live in a tree, you should be kind and let the witch stay in a tree. Even Jesus allowed the devils to stay inside pig. So when he wanted to deliver a human being, they said, let's enter into a pig. What did he say? Okay, go ahead. The witches in your village said that they want to stay in a tree, and you are still driving them. You are a wicked soul. If they want to stay in a tree, more grace to them. All you need to do, command them. In the name of Jesus, you must never come from the tree. This tree is your boundary. Don't go beyond that. They now tell that the man is in Lagos. His business is not doing well. Why? Because there are trees in his father's village that are inhabited by witches. So they need to go and drive the witches away. They forget that the money he collected from his neighbor, he came and reported that armed robbers took it. Meanwhile, the money, he used it to buy shipment last time he traveled. So Satan said, that is where I am. You can't cast me out of this business. Two of us own it. How can you cast me out of a business that both of us own? You know, it's like you come to me and say, Pastor Banky, please, bring 20,000. I put 20,000 and two of us will do business. And I say, okay. After some time, I start praying against me. Go away in Jesus' name. I say, from where? half of that business is my own. So when you are doing business with Satan, why should you... Look, don't be crazy, my friend. You can't cast him out. How do you do business with Satan? Bow to me, and I will give you all the treasures of this earth. So once you are bowing to Satan in your everyday activity, that's how you are doing business with him. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. I hope it is clear to you. All right, so let's continue. The book of Romans chapter 12. I said all of that to emphasize the issue of, number one thing that God is doing in your life, he's doing it inside you. But I said what we have been trying to get into, is exactly what is it that God is doing through us on the earth. Don't forget, number one, he's doing something in you. Then the second thing is that he's doing something through you. And we said there are two parts to that. There's what he's doing through you in the body of Christ, and there's what he's doing through you on the surface of the earth. The book of Romans chapter 12 again, verse 3. It says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly." Today I made sure I came with my New American Standard because I wanted to read this thing properly. Please let me read verse 6 again. And please, if your Bible is not a New American Standard, then lift up your eyes and look at me. I want to read it to you from my Bible. It said, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise those gifts accordingly." It said, if in prophecy, that is, if your gift is the ability to prophesy, then exercise that gift to the proportion of your faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then look at the Bible now, verse 7. It said, if service, exercise your gift, listen to this, in proportion to your faith in your serving. Do you get the point? If your gift is in teaching, is that he who teaches should exercise his gift of teaching in accordance to his faith in teaching. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That is, there is a gift you have, and this is what God wants to do in you or through you once he has done something in you. He wants to bless people through the gift that you have. And at each particular point in time, there's a particular degree of grace that flows through you, grace, all right, that's flowing through your hands, and that is in proportion to the amount of faith that you have concerning that thing. And when we're talking about faith, let me put this in simple words. We're talking about the confident ability with which you handle something. I remember many years ago, there was a celebrated plastic surgeon. There was a documentary about him, it was on TV. And I remember that they filmed one of the episodes in which he was, one of the theater sessions in which he was operating. And he wanted to correct the nose of a man that had a bent nose. I still remember that the man, he was talking to the reporter, talking casually, took a particular kind of instrument, you know, after cutting and cutting, stuck it into the man's nose, cut, and the man's nose fell off. And he continued talking like nothing was happening. And I thought to myself, this man is not serious that he's going to put that thing back. And believe me, he was going to put it back. He was not in doubt that he would put it back. Now, please get my point. He wasn't in doubt that by the time he's through, do you understand my point? This man's nose will be straight. But in my childish mind, like, no, you can't remove a man's nose. That is, I didn't have the faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. Neither did I have the grace, but he had it. Now, the man, no matter how much he tries, I know I'm a doctor now, I'm a specialist too. I may not be a surgeon of his type, but I know some things are not possible. Now, no matter how much he tries, he will not remove a man's head and plan to put it back. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. Now, this is a matter of fact. A lot of people, you know what they're trying to do? They say, if that man can remove a nose, why not me too? So they remove somebody's nose and he never joins back again. Or they say, after I'm bigger than him, I'm more experienced than him, therefore, I shall remove a head. And next thing that happens is that they carry him and put him in jail for removing a man's head because he couldn't join it back. Do you get the point I'm making? I'm not making up something here. You see, let me say something here quickly. There was something I began to develop last time. I need to say it again. I said that God sent Joseph. Can you remember that if you're around on Tuesday? I said God sent Joseph ahead, the Bible said in Psalm 105, into Egypt. That did God wake up? Well, did God wake Joseph up one day and say, "Joseph, my son, thou shalt go to Egypt"? The answer is no. No, God didn't wake him up and tell him like that. But we know that God sent him there. And we say, how did God send him there? What he did was to allow him choice-making occurrences. That is, times in which he had to make his choices. And as long as he was making the choices pleasing to God, God led him to the place, all right, of his destiny, of his calling. And I said that, let me say it again, that callings are usually discovered. They cannot be intellectually known ahead of time. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. A lot of us want to kneel down and pray until God speaks to us. You know, the problem is that we have listened to too many prophets. And they didn't lie to us, so just a lot of us got confused. Are you getting what I'm saying? I like an illustration somebody said some time ago, which is very true. First time I was hearing it, and it really struck me. He said, you listen to preachers. And he said, I was believing God for money, and I needed money. And then someone just called me one day and said, "Pastor, the Lord just said I should send you 1 million naira. And so, assuming someone like me, so I come and I preach. And I say, God is a faithful God. If you serve him faithfully, he will bless you. As an example, last week I was broke. I had some things to do. And I prayed and God sent me 1 million naira. And how did he send it? There was a brother I had blessed 3 years ago. And he had been blessed by my ministration. So one day he woke up, God prospered him and he sent me 1 million. So you're a businessman. You're an engineer. Are you getting my point? You're a teacher. Whatever it is that you do, you're not a preacher. You follow what I'm saying? And so you now start praying, God. And what you're saying inside your heart is, God, you see? The way somebody sent Pastor Banky 1 million naira, somebody must send me 1 million naira. So when you go to church, you say, sow a seed for a supernatural breakthrough for this year. No problem. You remove your scarf, it's a seed. Your shirt is a seed. Your shokoto, seed. Trouser, seed. Is it bad? No, the seed is not bad. But you are planting it towards a particular harvest that somebody will send you 1 million naira. God says, sit down there. Idiot, you don't understand. Banky was doing his work and he reaped the harvest. You go and do your work. I don't know whether you get the point. And from your work, you will reap a harvest. So what I will do for you as a businessman, I will open a door of great business. Nobody's going to dash you $1 million. But you are going to make 10 million. I don't know whether you get the point. I will give you great ideas. You will invent something that people will be begging you to allow them to reproduce that which you have invented. And they will pay you so much that you will be the one giving out 1 million naira. Look at you. That is, you think you're a preacher. Oh boy, you are not a preacher. They are the ones that get offering. Normal working people don't live by offerings. Oh, you don't get the point. They work and they earn wages. The preacher's offering is actually wages. I don't know whether you're getting the point. What am I going to say? People listen to a particular group of people and they get, you know, misdirected. You listen to a prophet and he said, God woke me up one night and said, go and do this. And you are waiting for God to wake you up. Listen to me, normal people, you know what wakes them up? Cock. Kukuruku in the morning. That is what wakes normal people up. If it's not cock, you know what wakes them up? Alarm bell. When you don't wake up, thank God for this day and age, GSM call will wake you up. Somebody, oh boy, you see they sleep. Very few people will go tap in the morning. I am an angel sent by God to come and talk to you about what? He said, but God spoke to Joseph. If your wife got pregnant suddenly and she claims that she's innocent, God needs to speak to you. I hope you are following my point. I mean, you're a young woman, very good girl. How do you think Mary will feel? Just they walk out one day, Bella just begin grow. She will think she's sick. What am I saying? Yes, God speaks to people that are not prophets occasionally when things are supposed to go completely off the normal course of events. Are you getting my point? I'm saying something. Please. I know this preaching is not very popular. And the reason is because people are generally very irresponsible. You know the reason why people believe in witches and curses? Because it makes it obvious. I mean, it gives them the impression that they are not responsible. If my business is doing poorly, it's not because I'm lazy. It's not because my accounting is bad. It's not because I am not diligent. It is because my grandmother was a female Dibia, and they placed a curse upon all our activities, and I'm the one suffering. It's not my fault. I was born like that. I don't know whether you get my point. That's why people believe all those things. Tell the truth and let the devil be ashamed. No. What do they want to do? They want to lie and blame somebody else. That's not their fault. It's the devil's work. Satan got behind me and pushed me. Do you follow my point? You know what he does? He tells people that nothing's wrong with you. You're okay the way you are. It's somebody else's trouble. I said, in the same manner, people want to see that. I've seen a man. Oh God, there's somebody I'm thinking about. Anytime he sees you, Brother Ubong, God bless you. Can I see you, please? I will need like 1,000 naira. Can you help me? Then you give him, no problem. Oh, Brother Banky, how are you? God bless you. I will need like 600 naira. You give it to him. Then I say, bro, why don't you do something and earn some money? He said, God has not spoken to me about that one yet. What I'm telling you is not a joke. I didn't cook it up. As I'm talking to you now, I'm seeing the face. So, tell me. God spoke to you when you went to meet Ubong. Called him and asked him for money. Did he? God spoke to you when you called your other brother. Met him and asked him for money. No, he didn't. Though. But when it's time for you to be responsible now, you need God to talk. What does that tell you? You don't want to do anything. Please, I'm bringing out something, all of things I'm saying. Callings are usually discovered as you exercise your gift diligently, as God gives you the opportunity. Shall I say it again? I will say it again. That you will discover your calling in life. Because remember, there's a difference between your gift. Thou didst form my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I said there are things that you can do naturally that God has poured grace upon your soul to be able to do them without as much effort as somebody else. Even though you might require training, but while you are being trained, you learn so much, much faster than other people because it's just natural to you. There's a book I saw on TV the other day. No, sorry, a man was being interviewed on Al Jazeera, one-on-one with Riz Khan. And I quickly wrote it down. I called Yinka after, saying, Yinka, please find me this book. The name just escaped me now because I wrote it down. So I just showed it to you. I said, okay, he'll look for it. The man is a PhD. All right, he has a PhD. And he was talking about behaviors. You know, I think he's a behavioral therapist or something. And he wrote a book or describing how to, you know, this was just last week. Earlier on this week. He was describing how to help your children develop properly. That you should watch out for things that are natural to them. He described a particular young man who won an Olympic gold medal in gymnastics. How did it happen? When he was a child, the parents noticed that this boy used to do something very strange. He used to walk on his hands. Everybody could walk on their feet. Is that okay? He would walk on his feet, and then after some time, he would turn around and walk on his hands. And that this boy would actually climb the stairs in their house on his hands. As a child, maybe like 5-year-old, that kind of thing, 6-year-old child. So the mother initially was worried, like, what is going on here? After some time, somebody said, why should you be worried? They took the boy and took him to a gymnastics center. By the time he was 16, he won an Olympic gold medal in gymnastics. You want to turn upside down? Why do it for free? I mean, do it. The boy won an Olympic gold medal. I watched that thing just this week. The man was going to illustrate what he wrote in that book. I'll go and research on that particular one. Okay, in fact, I've told him, please get me this book. I want to read it. But when I saw it, I said, oh God, the word of God is powerful. That is, there's nothing human beings can discover that God has not spoken about. I said, this man wrote a PhD thesis on this thing and wrote a book. I said, Pastor Banky has been teaching it for free for years. That thou didst form my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And wonderful are thy works. My soul knows it very well. That's what we're talking about, gifts. Do you get my point? That which you can do naturally. I'm still talking about calling. But what's a calling? He said, before there was yet any one of them, the days of my life were written in thy books. That is, where was I supposed to use my gifts? There's a place where God said, I must use my gifts. That's a calling. And I said, you will discover that calling as you conscientiously use your gifts. Pentecostals have deceived themselves into thinking that they will kneel down and pray until God tells them where. Like I said, because they listened to a few preachers, a few prophets here and there, and some people who had unique experiences, and they think that is the normal way. Listen, God only speaks like that when people have to do that which is completely out of normal. For example, Paul will preach in any Gentile city that the gospel had not been preached before him. Then he tried to enter one city. The Holy Spirit said, no. That's the only time the Holy Spirit will talk to him. Then he tried to enter another. The Holy Spirit said, no. Then he said, ah, what's going on here? Then he slept one night, and a man from Macedonia said in a dream, come over to Macedonia and come and help us. You know why he did that? Because Macedonia was out of the way. Do you get my point? That is, maybe the way I've been going about doing my ministry, for God to change the course of the things I'm doing drastically, he has to come through a supernatural method. But let me say it again, that's not the usual thing. What he does normally is this. He leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That is, as long as you constantly, continually, you know, I said I will say it again. As long as you constantly and continually exercise your gift while you walk in righteousness, you will discover the calling of your life for you. You will discover God's calling, I wanted to say, of your life. All right? God's calling over your life, you will discover it. For example, I said last time that Joseph never plotted to go into Egypt. He didn't plot it. Somebody flung him into Egypt. Let me say this to you again. That this is what God will do for you. Listen to this clearly. Number one, we've established the fact that you have a gift. Is that okay? Now that you know you have a gift, this is what God does with your gift. Every day, every once in a while, he opens a door for you to exercise your gift. That's what I'm talking about in detail. The exercise of your gift. The what? Exercise. Say it loud, please. The what? Exercise. The problem with people is that everything they want to do, they want to make money from it. That is where the problem starts. Listen, you know what you should do in life? Look for every opportunity to do what? Exercise your gift. If you realize it is for your good, I don't think you will turn it to this, you know, this covetousness that human beings have turned everything to. I see Chike in the gym every day. Well, not every day because I don't go every day. But every day I go there, he's there, which means he must be there every day. You know what he's carrying? Iron. Stone. Sweating. Running when he's not a sinner. Nobody's pursuing the man, but he's running. Why? The exercise is for his good. That's the point I'm coming to. The exercise is for what? He's go. Oh, I forgot to mention to you, he paid the people money to allow him to exercise. I don't know whether I think I forgot to mention that, but did you notice it? That is, now I want to run. From police? No. From what? Nothing. Snake, they pursue you? No. You sin? No. Are there witches after you? No. You want to run? He says, for my good. Fine. To run, you will pay money, and you dip hand in the pocket, and you're running. Why? You pay to run. Why? Because it is what? For your good. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. But when we don't understand it, this is a typical, you know, satanic mentality, which is very common in Nigeria. They say, everybody come and jog. They say, oh, God, come. Let's talk. How much you go pay? The person said, what? I said, everybody come and jog. He said, I heard you now. Okay, each time we go around the football pitch, how much is it? You know, that's what we do sometimes. No, that's what we do. That we want to exercise our gift, which is for... No, let me tell you the truth. The exercise of your gift is for your own good. That's what I'm trying to say in all of these things. It's for what? Your own good. Every time you have the opportunity to exercise your gift, if necessary, pay for that opportunity. I remember many years ago, I would travel to go and preach on campus in Benin. A good friend of mine one day asked me, he said, "Banky, let's face the fact. It costs you money all the time to come like this." I said, "Yes." He said, "Are these people paying for it?" I said, "Well, no, not really. Well, if I ask them to, they would. You understand my point? But I didn't ask them to, and they felt I was doing them a favor. But like I told my friend, I said, I'm also doing myself a favor. I don't know whether you get the point. Yes, that I'm doing it for them, but I'm actually, as far as I was concerned, I was doing it for me. I remember the pastor of my church in Ado Ekiti, where I did my youth service. When I finished service, where I did my housemanship, all right? My internship after I graduated from school. After I finished youth service, and I was now working in Lagos, anytime I'm on leave from Luth, where I was doing my postgraduate studies, I will go to the hospital, and to the church, and sometimes spend a full month. If I still remember a particular one, in which, now, from Lagos to the place is maybe like 4 hours journey. Then from that place to my home, maybe another 1.5 hours journey. I got there, stayed about 2 or 3 weeks, then went back to Lagos. My mother was surprised. In fact, there was a comment she passed after, which I was very, very angry. She felt that this boy chased woman, come. He can't tell me any other thing that he came to do in this place. Because I didn't go home. But the fact was that I didn't chase anybody there at all. As God is my witness, I'm not lying to you. You know I won't lie to you now. What did I go to go and do? I will tell you. Tell you the truth. I either stayed in the pastor's house or stayed in some of my colleagues, the hospital quarters was nearby. I was staying in the place, which was just a stone throw from the church. But every morning, the only people would get up, have their baths and go out. I get up, have my baths and go to church. And I will sit down and be doing church work. And my duty was simple, prepare Bible studies. And I used to preach 3 times a week. The church had branches in the town. Before, a pastor would preach here and run and go and preach somewhere else. You know that kind of thing. But now I was around. So, Pastor Banky, you preach here? Yes, sir. I will preach there? Yes, sir. After that, you do this? Yes, sir. There are programs they want to do. Maybe some of the youth people, you know, the students in the fellowship, they have a program in the church. They have a program on campus. Pastor's supposed to go and preach. He will just look and say, Banky, I think you will do that one for me. Nothing spoiled. That's why I came. Because, you know, the services were 3 times a week. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. And they had 3 branches in that town at that time. So, you know, the work was plenty. I'll preach here on Tuesday. Then lead Bible study, lead prayers in the other one on Thursday. And I will do that after 2, 3, or 4 weeks. I will pack. And as I'm leaving, say, let's pay for your transport. I say, no, sir, it's my pleasure. In fact, I forgot to mention, when I'm coming, I will have shared my salary into various parts. The one for the church, I will give him as I arrive. And give him his own personal present as I arrive. And I will now stay there and walk like a donkey for weeks and then go back home. Listen, I have heard too many God told me that. I say, if God told you that, I must be a European. And I don't mean European by birth, I mean European by color. There are things that I know God didn't tell somebody. But you see, if they tell you fast for 7 weeks, and then God will speak to you. If you go hungry for 7 weeks, God must speak. If he doesn't speak, you will hear your voice from anywhere you like. I mean, how can you be hungry for 7 weeks and see you won't hear anything? What kind of nonsense is that? Some, the bad ones, they hear from evil spirits. But the good ones, they say, God says, you won't speak, I shall speak to myself. My son. You are telling yourself, you have fasted for 7 weeks, and I shall bless you. This your life shall amount to something. You will never be average. Thank you very much, Lord. Thank you very much, Lord. Thank you very much. You come and tell Pastor Banky, I say, you are an idiot. You should have just listened to one broadcast on radio. I will have told you that which you used 7 weeks to hear. Because you want to hear voices. Instead of you to take the gift, number one, remember, God is working in you to perfect the image of Christ. Then now said, I want to do 3 things through you. And based on what I plan to do, I've given you certain abilities. And you don't have to be a preacher. I think that's the most important thing I've said in all of the things I've been saying. Because Christians still think that preaching or assisting a preacher is the only thing that's a work of ministry. No, not necessarily. Listen, I said something a few sessions ago. I said, don't despise your gift. You hear what I said? Don't what? Despise your gift. There's a book I have recommended again and again. I don't know how many people have read it. The Happiest People on Earth by Demos Shakarian. The man tried his best. That's why I said exercise is the issue. He found out that he was very good at one thing. Organizing, organizing, and organizing. So he kept on organizing programs. Sometimes he would preach, but he realized they didn't really know how to preach. So he started getting preachers to preach. And along the line, he was reading the Bible one day, and he discovered that it's what the Bible calls the ministry of helps. He said, that must be my ministry. But I said something earlier, that if you read this Romans chapter 12, you see that Paul kept on talking about different things. And I am persuaded that that list is not exhaustive. There are many gifts that are not written in there. And I can prove that to you. Technological gifts did not exist there. You know that? Because there was no technology the way we have it today. But are you telling me that God didn't... Listen. Computers were not born in hell. Satan doesn't have the capacity to invent a microchip. Hear it from me. Only God can invent the processor. Satan couldn't. He can't. It was not his idea. He doesn't know how to do it. He wasn't born to do it. The only person who could do it is God Almighty. And he placed the gifts for that inside the hearts of people. Are you getting my point? Charles Towns, I've quoted his story a lot of times. You know what they call laser beam? Laser beam. You see laser everywhere. You encounter laser every day. Every time you put in a CD player, put a CD into a CD player, that's laser you're dealing with. You know, you've opened your CD player, all right? You see that small lens there? It shoots and reads laser beams. Doctors use it in surgery. Engineers use different kinds of lasers to cut metals, different kind of things. The man won the John Templeton Award sometime, I think, in the late 90s or the early 2000s. Because he said that one day he said that prophets say they get inspiration. He said the idea to invent the laser beam came to me also by inspiration. I sat one day on a park bench and the idea came to my head. He said, you know, it's what they call an epiphany, you know, the way they say in English language, what Christians call a revelation. Do you understand? I just had the revelation. And then I went to the lab. Over the many years they worked, he and his colleagues, and they came out with what they call the laser beam, which is blessing people till today. Listen to me, Satan couldn't have done that. Some of us think God only knows how to preach and compose praise songs. I just want to be where you are. That's why you think that when you get to heaven, we just wake up in the morning, you are the only thing praise today. Praise the Lord, oh, single, single. After 75,222 years, we change the tone again. This time around, we are giving God the African style. Praise the Lord. Don't praise them. John G. Lake said, I don't believe that. I believe there's a lot of work to do. That we have to develop. In fact, somebody like Dix thinks that heaven is a planet and there's work to do in every planet. But the point I'm making is that God does not only compose songs. Holy, holy, holy. If you go and investigate the meaning of the word holy, you discover that when metals say holy, all become pure. I don't know whether I get my point. Iron ore will become pure iron because somebody shouted holy. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. That is when you look at competing technology and you say holy. You make a 15-core processor. You think holy is only to come to church? I don't want to raise many preachers. Look, listen, in my life, God knows my plan is not to raise many preachers. In fact, I never prayed to God any of my children should be preachers. I never did. I suspect one or two of them may be. No, I think one may be a preacher. I think more than one of my children being a preacher is rather too much. What do I want them to be? I'll tell you. I want my first son, that's my desire. I pray the Lord confirms it. I want my first son to take after his mother. to be a business person. Because you're intelligent doesn't mean you must become a scientist. That's why the whole of the world... Look, let me ask you a question. Listen, how many times have science turned the world upside down? Is this economists that turned the world upside down? Maybe some of these scientists stop being scientists, should have become economists. Something else we'll be experiencing now. You're getting the point I'm making. Yes, become an economist. Teach men how to do business. Explain to them divine order concerning taxation and monetary policies. I like that. I like my second son to be a university professor. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you. Become a doctor, an engineer, a historian, whatever it is. Just be a university professor. Just get up in the morning and direct the lives of young people. Show them the path of righteousness in the academics. The only one of my son that I think will be a preacher, that smallest one, the guy is vicious. I have a feeling that he will take pleasure in chasing the devil down anywhere he can find him. His name is Victory. Something like a healing minister. Do you hear what I'm saying? But the point I'm making is that, listen, it's not just preaching. That's why I'm not so excited about somebody being a preacher. No, I'm not excited about it. We have so many preachers. So many. There is, in fact, Nigeria should have been saturated with the gospel, except a lot of our preaching, they are not pure. Let me say that before I close. A lot of preaching isn't pure. What do I mean when I say preaching is not pure? I can easily explain that to you. It means that people preach for different kinds of motives. Paul was in jail. There were those who wanted to show Paul that, yes, we will show you that you are in jail, but preaching will still go on. And that's what they were preaching. They didn't want Paul to be released, though. They were just preaching to make it pay. Say you think you're important. We will show you that we can run this church without you. Carnegie will tell you a story. I've read his book a lot, and if you intend to be a preacher, please go and read that guy's book. His books, every one of them. Everyone you can lay hands on. If you want to be a preacher and you have not read books like He Gave Gifts Unto Men, Ministry Gifts, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, Following God's Plan for Your Life, I really don't think you are serious yet. In this day and age, please, you must read those books. We'll tell you about preachers that will be in a meeting. And they will be laying hands on the sick. People will be getting healed. Blind will be seeing. All kinds of things will be working. And when they see a few miracles happen, they quickly bring the offering basket. He said, God has been so good. If you believe the Lord, quickly give the Lord a great offering. And the anointing will die. Die. God, please forgive me. Maybe I shouldn't say this again, but after today I'll stop. Let me just say it last time. There are those who show up. I brought a revelation today for your breakthrough. You know what he means? I came to church today with need for money. This revelation is to bring prosperity your way. What he's actually saying is that I hope that by the time I'm through today, every money you came to church with, I will have collected it. And the one you didn't come to church with, you will give me a check for it. Or at least a pledge. I'm not saying, look, listen, my friend. I think every believer should be responsible when it comes to giving. And there are those, we'll discuss a few examples, practical examples later, who their special job on earth is to give towards the propagation of the gospel of Christ. But apart from that, every believer should be responsible. But if you think that you go to church and your single offering will get you breakthrough, you're an idiot, complete one. Shall I say it again so that it will pain you? Anytime you are doing it, say, Pastor Bani called me an idiot. If you think you go to church and the one single offering you want to give that day, all your problems will be over. You're a goat. I've said it again and again. What you don't want to start, what you don't want to continue, don't start. And if something is good, do it even though nobody promises you a reward. Do you get the point? If something is good, one day I went somewhere and a church was doing a kind of project and I know they had challenges and all of that. I told my wife, we went together. I said, baby, this is a good place. So great work is going on. I said, Bishop Oyedepo said, your name shouldn't be absent. Let's do something. You can't be doing something good and I will pass through and I will just say, oh, God bless you people. No. Even if I don't have money, I'll just put something small for envelope, drop it there. because it's a good habit. I've told Christians again and again, cultivate a good habit. Stop being impulsive. That's why they hire mercenaries for you now. Yourself, in fact, it's you that caused it. You are too stingy and too selfish. That's why the mercenary is needed to machine the money out of your pocket. Are you getting the point I'm making? I know I'm digressing. But the point I'm making is that our preaching has not been pure. If you will step up the platform every time and preach the gospel only for the gospel's sake, and we'll preach it, all right, with anointed tongues, we'll fill this country with the knowledge of God in no time. Do you get my point? Listen, preach a pure gospel. There is a power that backs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to struggle. But I'll just digress to say that, all right? But the main thing I'm trying to explain is this. Listen, God wants to bless the body of Christ, listen to this, and transform a nation through you. And he didn't say, go and preach. If I read people say that, how many people can stand up and speak against injustice like Ganifa? I said, that's his job, that's not mine. If your name is not Tunde Bakare, you abuse the president on TV, even God will close you down. Look, all you need to do is watch Tunde Bakare. You know that guy is anointed to do what he's doing. In the days of Abacha, you know how horrible Abacha could be on TV. Tunde Bakare will prophesy. And what used to amaze me, that why didn't NTA shut him down? Abacha did not even have to shoot him. You know that? All he needed to do was to instruct NTA to shut him down. Yet, they will be broadcasting this man nationwide as abusing the government, as it must be his job. Obasanjo was president. I watched this. Not somebody told me. He said Obasanjo said he's born again. The man was president, though. This was national TV. I was watching this from Enugu. He was preaching in church in Lagos. He said he's born again. He said, I dare him to say publicly that I am not a member of Ogboni, and I swear I will never preach this gospel again. And Obasanjo was president. I, Banky, won't try it. And believe me, he said, Pastor Banky, you are not bold. Listen, my friend, I preach in proportion to my faith. I'm telling you, the job where they don't send me, I know they do. Even if he says he's not a member of Ogboni, I will still preach. So why should I go and boast? Go and put yourself into unnecessary hassle. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Listen, preach the promise of your faith. Don't do somebody else's job for him. Tunde Bakare is obviously a prophet. I'm telling you, I've heard his talk. God sent you to do this job. As for Banky, go and teach them how to succeed, not how to abuse the president. Therefore, I don't do more than that. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What am I saying? That each person has an assignment. Is that okay? And you will discover your real assignment. Not just because God spoke to you. He could. He might. He might one day. It's possible. I believe one or two or three people here will dream one day and the Lord will appear through an angel and give them specific instructions either concerning who to marry or where to walk, where to go, which country to go to. Because there are those who haven't heard me preach who will swear they will never leave Nigeria. You know that? Or God will say, no, 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 no. You, your assignment is somewhere in Europe. Your assignment is somewhere in East Africa. There's one of you I want to send to Asia. I know Banky has taught you that, listen, God can bless you anywhere. That's what he said. God can bless you anywhere. Now I want to bless you in Asia. Follow me. But having heard certain kinds of gospel, he knows you won't take a step. Therefore, listen, one day you will dream and an angel will say, see you in Bangkok. That's the last you will hear. And then one day you come and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I say, what's happening? I'm going to Bangkok. And I will bless you, pray with you, lay hands on you, pour oil. In fact, I'm going to buy oil. I'm serious. I'm not joking about that. I'm going to buy. I'm a preacher. I should have oil. I'm going to get oil. I'll keep it. I will pour a whole bottle on your head that you might prosper where you are going. Are you getting what I'm saying? As you exercise your gifts, however, That's how you will walk into the calling of God for your life. I hope you've gotten the point. Please don't forget, let me just add this to it. Every day, opportunities are passing by you every day. Not to make money. Now, listen to that. Or let me put it like this. Not necessarily to make money, but to do what? Exercise your gift. Don't let those opportunities pass you by. It's your passport to greatness. It's your passport to fulfillment. It's your passport to prosperity. I hope you get the point. All right, let us give the Lord thanks.